Advent is the time of year. It's a word that means arrival, right? It means coming. And this is the time of year that we prepare our hearts to celebrate the coming of Jesus. And church tradition is that we celebrate Advent in kind of four themes or four movements of hope and peace and joy and love. And for each, we have a candle. So for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about hope. And then last week, wait for it. And then last week, we talked about peace. And today, if the match holds up, we will talk about joy.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but an angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that there will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased."
Thanks, Brittany. Great joy. Joy is definitely a theme this time of year. The first song we sang today wasn't anger to the world, right? Stress to the world or fear to the world. It's joy to the world. And joy is what we feel this time of year as we gather with our families and we enjoy, you know, the traditions of Christmas and the music of Christmas and the lights of Christmas and the parties of Christmas and the movies of Christmas. For me, I get a lot of joy out of the memories of Christmas. And just by looking at me, you can tell I get a lot of joy out of the food of Christmas, especially Jesus's favorite Christmas cookies. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I get joy in getting and receiving the presents of Christmas. And I think for most of us, it's like all the stuff of Christmas, right? All the stuff of the Advent season brings us joy. And I think that's one reason people love Advent, because we find joy in all of the gifts and goodies and family and friends and fun, and we crave joy. One of the, I guess, deepest longings of the human heart is joy. We long for joy, and Advent celebrates that longing being met in the coming of Jesus. And so, speaking of experiences of profound joy, I want to share one with you today. But I may get a little emotional, so bear with me. This was, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and I was playing golf. And I was in the middle of the fairway, as I rarely am, and I had 157 yards. I remember it so clearly, you know, and I pulled out an 8-iron, and I made, I would call an elegant but powerful swing, and the ball took to the air like a majestic bird on its wing, and I said with a tear in my eye, "That's what it's supposed to feel like." And my buddies could only gasp with joy and amazement as higher and higher it rose like Santa's sleigh in the moonlight just to the right of the flag. And then, as if on remote control, it began the elegant descent, gently falling like a beautiful bird landing on a delicate flower. And it didn't even bounce. It just landed right in the cup. For a 2, an eagle, And I'm going to tell you that getting married was a joyful experience. And, you know, when the kids were born, you know, that was joyful. But that shot was a moment of profound, pure joy. And I thought to myself, I just thought, you know what? I will never be unhappy again. And surely this profound joy, you know, will last forever. And then the next hole is a par three, and it's basically the same shot, only easier, and it's shorter, and I get to put it on a tee. But I thought to myself, you know, if I do that again, that'd be a hole in one. And then my joy would be complete. But instead of launching that high, majestic, beautiful draw into the cup, I chunked it into the water. And then if you know golf, then I have to take a penalty stroke, and then I have to drop and hit again, and I chunked that one in the water. And then I took another penalty stroke, and I dropped it again, and I gouged it up on the green 3 feet from the hole, and I missed that putt, and I tapped in for a smooth seven. And even if you're not a golfer, you know eagles are amazing, and birdies are wonderful, and pars are good. Bogeys are bad, and double bogeys are very bad, and triple bogeys are excruciatingly bad, and quadruple bogeys are the reason a lot of golfers drink, and that's just straight up fact. And I thought to myself, like, I will never be happy again. And it's like 5 minutes before that, I was saying I would never be unhappy again, and that's golf. And all the golfer said, amen. That's golf, man. The joy is fleeting. You know, it comes and it goes with the circumstances, and your whole outlook changes in just a second. And, you know, that's golf. But I think that's also kind of life, isn't it? Because 1 minute, the marriage is great, and the family's great, and your health is amazing, and your job is awesome, and the car is clean, and your grades are good, and there's money in the bank, and the house is perfect, and your bowel movements are regular, you feel so joyful, you know, like everything is perfect, and then just the next minute, things change. And as the circumstances change, for a lot of us, so does our level of joy. And this is what happens when our joy is tied to our circumstances. So our joy goes up and down with our circumstances and with our bank balance and with our popularity and with our health. And it's not to say we shouldn't find joy in the blessings of our lives. James 1:17 tells us that every good thing in our life is a gift coming down from our Father. So we should be grateful, and we should see that, and we should enjoy those gifts. But a joy that depends on the circumstances dissolves the moment life shifts. And the thing is, life always shifts. And if we only find joy in the good circumstances, we're going to spend a lot of our time joyless. So can I give you guys some news, and maybe shocking to some of you? Bad stuff happens. And it even happens to good people, and it even happens to Christians. Life disappoints us. People disappoint us. People hurt us. People leave us. And jobs break down, and plans break down, and relationships break down, and our bodies break down. And sometimes our circumstances are less than ideal. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I mean, this is just, and let's say you're lucky. Let's say you're blessed. Let's say that those breakdowns and those hard times are just like 40% of the time, 40% of the time. If our joy is tied to our circumstances, that means we're only going to have joy 60% of the time. I mean, are you okay with that percentage? God, I'm not. And I don't think God is. If you're like me, I want to be joyful like all the time. I want to spend all my time living this rich, satisfying, abundant life that Jesus said that he came to give me. And I know a lot of you right now are dealing with really hard like health issues. and family issues and financial issues and loss and grief. And you remember joy, kinda, and you miss it. And you want it, even here, you know, even now, even in this situation. But it's hard to find joy because of the circumstances. And so my prayer is just that in this Advent season, you can take maybe just a little break from the pain of your circumstances and experience some joy, like in spite of, you know, even in those hard circumstances. And my prayer is that we'll all experience like a Christmas miracle of a taste of joy that's not based on current situations. It's not dependent on our current circumstances. A joy that is in something more permanent, in something more constant. A joy that is like circumstance proof, right? Advent joy. And Advent joy is a different kind of joy because it's not rooted in ideal circumstances. It's rooted in a faithful God. And it's not about how our circumstances are. It's about who God is. Advent joy is the resilient gladness that comes from knowing that God is with us and that God is for us and that he has a good plan and that we're part of it and that no matter what the circumstances are, that plan is still unfolding. That's the joy that the angels were singing about that night at Bethlehem. It wasn't a joy that was coming from great circumstances. It was Advent joy. It was the joy of the coming of Jesus. And I just feel like this is the joy we need because this is a joy that stays with us when things are great and when things are hard. So we can have great joy in great times, but we can also have great joy in hard times, rich or poor or healthy or sick or if you're getting along or if you're feeling alone or if you're making eagles or quadruple bogeys. Today, from this famous passage we read in Luke, seven, I'll call them observations about Advent joy. Here's your first observation. Advent joy comes in surprising places to surprising people at surprising times. In the reading today, did you notice where the joy arrives? Because it wasn't in Jerusalem, and it wasn't in Hollywood, and it wasn't in Rome or Paris or Washington, D.C. Joy arrives in the field, in the middle of nowhere. And joy wasn't presented to like poets or priests or politicians or important people. It's presented to the most common people, shepherds. And they weren't doing some, you know, great religious thing. They were just doing their jobs like they did every day. And I think this is a real encouragement for those of us who are not famous people doing incredible things in incredible places, but are just, you know, regular people living a regular life and doing regular things. The angels said the joy of Advent was for all people. Wherever we are and whoever we are and whatever we're doing, the joy of the coming of Jesus is for shepherds and doctors and plumbers and teachers and salesmen and moms and dad. It's for you. The joy of Advent is for us. It's for ordinary people, for unimportant people, for overlooked people. So I think that joy is available in extraordinarily good circumstances and extraordinarily bad circumstances, and in extraordinarily ordinary circumstances. So whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever you're doing and whatever your social status or your financial status or your relationship status, the joy of Advent is for you. Second observation, Advent joy is found in the gospel. So what does gospel mean? Good news. And the angel said, this is Luke 2:10, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. So according to that verse, what was bringing the great joy? The good news. Yeah, the gospel. And we throw those words around, but like sometimes I don't think we even think about what those words mean. But at all times of year, but especially this time of year, we should be very aware of what the good news was that they were bringing. So for generations, Israel had lived under these oppressive foreign powers, right? Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and more than that, all of mankind had been living under the oppressive rule of the power of Satan and sin and death. And as they lived in that oppression, and as they watched God's world like spiraling into darkness and getting worse and worse, there were these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Micah, Zechariah, and they kept promising that God would send a Messiah, right? An anointed one, a special chosen one of God that would bring justice and peace and healing to humanity. And through that Messiah, God would restore all creation as a new heaven and a new earth. Have you noticed how many times that term comes up in the Bible, the new heavens and the new earth? That's what this Messiah was going to come to do, was to bring them together, to bring God's place and our place together into this amazing kingdom where joy and peace and love would be everywhere. There would be no more war and no more death and no more oppression and no more slavery or no more tears, where God and man could live and rule over his restored perfect kingdom together. And the oppressive powers of darkness would be defeated, and everything that steals joy would be healed. Where the poor and the humble and the weak would be made rich and powerful and strong, and where all humanity would love each other so well that there would be no more need for the existence of weapons, where even lions and lambs would lay down together, and where we could fully experience the provision and purpose and power and presence and peace of God. So the whole world would be restored and humanity would be completely healed, and it was all going to begin with this coming Messiah, this Savior, the new righteous king, the son of David, the root of Jesse, the son of man, the spirit-anointed servant, born as a child, and given to us from the Father to bring healing and justice and peace and restore our relationship with God and restore all creation. So that's what they were waiting for. And so forever, God's people like watched and waited for Messiah to come for years and decades and generations and centuries. And then one night in this field to a few unsuspecting shepherds, like heaven broke open with the news, the Savior's born. This good news that night that they heard was the Messiah had come to restore creation and to restore humanity to God. And that's the good news for us too. It's the same good news. Jesus has come to defeat the powers of darkness, to heal everything that kills joy, and to start this mission to restore and recreate God's world and to restore and recreate us. And he's coming back to finish it. And he's inviting us to be part of it. So no matter what's going on in your personal life or your relational life or your social life, and no matter what the moral condition of the world is or the political climate of the world is, no matter what a mess your world is, no matter what a mess you are, the Messiah has come to make everything right and to make everything new. And that's good news. That's the gospel. And that news brings great joy, Advent joy, to all of us. Third observation, Advent joy isn't always what we expect. Jesus came to be king, but he wasn't exactly the kind of king they were expecting. They were looking for like a military leader or a political leader to like overthrow all their human enemies and establish this amazing, powerful throne in Jerusalem. But instead, Jesus came to overcome the real enemies, right? The root cause of all their suffering, which was Satan and sin and evil. He came to establish a new kind of kingdom, and that was really unexpected. And when Jesus defeated those enemies and established God's kingdom, he invited his people into this new way of life, right? Into this new kingdom of humility and generosity and love and joy. And that invitation wasn't just for them 2,000 years ago. It's for us now. Right? He wants us to live in victory over sin and Satan and evil and death. He wants us to be part of this new kingdom of peace and joy and generosity and love. But like them, sometimes we're expecting joy to come in a different way. You know, sometimes we're expecting our joy to be found in Jesus changing our circumstances, just like them, right? We'll say, man, I would be so joyful if I could get that job, right? I would be so joyful if I could get the girl. I would be so joyful if I had an iPhone 17. I would be so joyful if I had a bigger house or a nicer car or a better husband or more followers on social media, right? So what I want Jesus to do is come and change my circumstances, and that'll bring me joy. But the coming of Jesus brings unexpected joy. That's not based on our external circumstances. Because in his kingdom, joy isn't a product of wealth or power or popularity. It's a product of his love. Joy is a product of his love for us, but it's also a product of his love through us. And Jesus even gives us a really unexpected way to, like, the key, right, to find that joy. This is John 15:10. Jesus says, when you obey my commandments, you remain, you live, you abide in my love. When you obey my commandments, you abide in my love. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yeah, he said, your joy will overflow. So he's given us like a little code here, right, where obeying his commandments leads to abiding in his love, which leads to overflowing, unchanging joy. You see that? So what's the first step to joy? Obeying his commandments, right? And what's his commandment? He tells us in the next verse. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, right? Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. So do you see the method there, the key there? What ultimately leads to overflowing, unchanging joy is actually loving each other. And it's kind of unexpected, huh? Because the world tells us that joy comes from health or wealth or power or sex or status or stuff. And Jesus says that the unchanging, unshakable, unexplainable, overflowing joy of Advent comes from an unexpected place. It comes from us loving others. So the unexpected truth of Advent is that joy isn't something that we chase. It's something that grows in us as we learn to live and love like Jesus. And the joy of his kingdom doesn't come from self-fulfillment. It comes from self-giving. And it doesn't come from building our own kingdoms. It comes from us participating in his kingdom. Real joy, permanent joy, is rooted in experiencing and sharing the self-giving love of Jesus. Advent joy isn't always what we expect. Advent joy, number four, confronts fear. Now, the first thing the angel said was, do not be afraid. And that wasn't just like an inspirational quote or something. This is spiritual surgery, right? This is Jesus removing the great joy blocker, fear. Fear kills joy. Fear, like, shrinks your world, you know? It keeps you, like, clenched up and self-protective and suspicious and closed off. And that's not joy. But I think some of us spend our whole lives in fear that something's going to happen that's going to steal our joy, right? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? What if I lose this relationship? What if I lose my salvation, right? What if I fail? What if somebody betrays me? What if I hit a golf ball in the water, right? That we were in fear that these things are going to happen to us and steal our joy. But the first word of Christmas is do not be afraid. Jesus has come. Advent joy is here, and don't be afraid. It's not going anywhere, because remember, the source of our joy is abiding in the love of God, and we can't lose that. So we have to be afraid of that. We can't. It can't be taken away from us. This is Romans 8:38. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not death or life or angels or demons or fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Advent means Jesus came to bring his love and his joy that can never be lost. And it can never be taken away from us. And as long as we live in that love, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? There is no fear. Our joy will continue to overflow. Fifth observation, Advent joy is our resistance to darkness. Advent joy is not just some like naive cheerfulness about a cute baby born in a barn or something. Advent joy is resistance. It's defiance. It's power. No matter what our circumstances, Advent joy stands up in the face of the devil and darkness and death and says, you don't get the last word. Because Jesus has come to destroy you, and he is coming back to finish that job. So in a world that is almost drowning in like cynicism and anxiety and fear and despair, choosing joy isn't some silly like escapism. It's rebellion. Right? It's defiance. It's warfare. It's our resistance to darkness. Because in Advent joy, we say that through the coming of Jesus, even when the world and our enemy and the circumstances are against us, God is still redeeming and restoring and reigning. Sixth observation. Advent joy increases when it's shared. Everybody's heard that passage we read today a million times, but do you know what the shepherds did next? Because they, you know, they saw the angels singing, right? Now the show's over. Now they go to Jerusalem. Now they find baby Jesus. They meet Jesus. Now what? Yeah, what they do next. Luke 2:17 says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. And the angel had said to them about this child, and everybody that heard the shepherd's story was astonished. So the shepherds like heard the good news, right? They experienced it for themselves, and then they told everybody what had happened. And as they share that news, the joy grows in them, but also in everybody that they told. And if my joy comes from money or success or stuff, that kind of joy diminishes as I give it away. But when we give away the joy of the coming of Jesus, something weird happens. Right, it grows, it multiplies, and all the time, but especially this time of year, we need to share the love of Jesus and the joy of Advent. And I just keep saying this, but if there's anybody that you've ever wanted to invite to church or you've ever wanted to talk to about Jesus, this is your time. The world teaches us to hoard anything that brings joy. But the coming of Jesus teaches us to share it. Seventh, last observation. Advent joy can exist alongside tears. And this is an important one because I know a lot of us right now, we hear the word joy and we feel like a little sting because this season is hard. Because we're walking through or we're being reminded of a loss or a sickness or a depression or loneliness or disappointment. And if that's you, I'd like to say this to you. Advent joy was made for you. Because Advent joy doesn't depend on the circumstances. Advent joy is the joy that sits with you even in the hardest stuff of life. It's the joy that can exist alongside tears. It's the joy that doesn't demand that you be upbeat. It doesn't demand that you fake a smile. It's the joy that whispers, this is hard, but God's with you. Jesus came to be Emmanuel, right? God with us. And he knows your pain, and he cares about your pain, and he feels your pain. And someday he's going to undo your pain. God is still writing your story. And this might be a sad chapter, But it's not the last chapter, because Jesus has come to heal and redeem and rescue and restore. Jesus told us, John 16:33, Jesus said, you know, on this life you will have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And that is true. There are lots of tears, man. There are lots of hard tears, heavy tears. But Advent joy can exist alongside those tears, because Advent joy is about being united with a God that walks with us through everything, even the tears. And it's about trusting that one day he will restore his good world, and he'll restore us, and he'll wipe away every tear, and he'll make all things new. That's Advent joy. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you just for this amazing season of Advent where we get ourselves ready to just celebrate the coming of Jesus. And God, we see the hope in this season, and we see the peace of this season. God, help us this week to see the joy of this season, that it's not dependent on circumstances or even relationships or finances or jobs or any of the events in our life, that it's only dependent on the coming of Jesus. Jesus, help us find our joy in your coming, because it's a joy that doesn't change, and that's the joy we need. Help us to find that joy in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.